Bibles to the book of Colossians tonight, Colossians chapter 3. This summer we've been talking about the fact that to live is Christ, Paul said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Jesus Christ is not just some fire escape to get us out of hell and then we go about our business however we want to. He's not just somebody we talk about on Sundays. He's not just somebody that's on a bumper sticker, on a sign at a ball game. He is everything. We've been talking about this summer that for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. We talked about keeping our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, and how important it is that you guard your heart from the influences. We talked about how important it is what we do with our eyes, because mine eye hath affected my heart. And we want to be careful, little eyes, what you see. And we've learned about a lot of different things, but I just want to challenge you guys, because so many people right here in Muldrow, they go to church and they talk a Christian lingo, but Jesus Christ has not really changed their life. It's not impacted every part of their life, and I have concerns for anybody who says that they're saved, but their life isn't changed by Jesus Christ. I have concerns about somebody who uses the Christian lingo and talks about being saved and maybe even has a Bible and does those things, but they still live like the world and act like the world. They're no different. And I want to tell you today in America that there's really no discernible difference across the board in the United States of America between people who claim to be Christians and people who are not Christians at all. There's no difference in their life. They look the same, they act the same, they dress the same, they watch the same movies, and they listen to the same music, and they use the same language. And some of you have claimed to be Christians, you've claimed to be born again, but when you get around your friends who aren't saved, you don't act any different. Some of you guys get on Instagram and Snapchat, and you talk filthy. You get on Instagram and you post things about movies that you've seen that aren't fit for anybody to watch. You sneak around and do things with your boyfriend or girlfriend that not might be done. And just as a side note, if you're not married, there ought to be some space in between you tonight. There you go. See, here's the thing, guys. Jesus may be a joke to you. Church may just be playtime for you. But I want to tell you tonight that Christ is real. The salvation that I have tonight is only because of Him. And He's not just a fire escape to me. He's not just a way out of hell to me. He's everything to me. And if you're born again, He ought to be everything to you. And if He's not, tonight you ought to examine yourself whether you be in the faith. See, I get this. There are a lot of fake Christians in Muldrow, Oklahoma. And some of you may be offended by that. You may think that's very judgmental. But I'm here to tell you tonight that if you are worldly and you claim Christ, the Bible is clear. That is a sign that you don't know Christ at all. Sure. You don't believe me, you don't like it, that's fine. You can take it up with the book of 1 John. But I want to be real with you guys today and every day and tell you that this is serious business. Now I'm going to ask you to very respectfully stand for the reading of God's word. Sometimes I stand in the pulpit, I have to say hard things and I have to do hard things, but I want you to understand my motives. I want to be real with you guys. I want to challenge you guys because I care about you. I care about where you spend eternity. I don't stand up here and preach hard things about hell and heaven because it's fun. I do it because it's the truth, and I want you to know Christ. I want you to have Christ in your life. I want you to live eternally, and I want you to serve Him today. I don't want you to waste your life. I want you to invest it in Jesus Christ. To live is Christ. And so listen to the Word of God tonight, Colossians 3. I'm going to try to preach very quickly tonight, so I want you to really pay attention, because if you don't, you're going to miss it all. Colossians 3 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for the opportunity to stand and proclaim Your Word. I pray that Your Spirit would move tonight. I pray that You'd use me, Father, for I'm nothing without You, and I pray that You would bless Your Word in spite of me. I pray that You would convict hearts tonight. That young people tonight would know the reality of heaven and hell, that they would know the reality of salvation only through Christ. Lord, that they would understand the reality of a changed life because of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to die to self every day and live for You. Deliver us from this present evil world. And Lord, help us to set our affections on things above, because You are our life. Please bless now, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I want you to look at the first few words there in verse 1 again, please. If ye then be risen with Christ. This word "if" is a conditional statement. If. That means it's not a guaranteed thing. It means that not everybody is risen with Christ. It means, friends, that not everybody is born again. And before we can get into all the things about how we need to live today, we need to know for sure that we're going to live forever. We need to have it settled for sure that we have been born again. The Bible says, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith." You ought to know that you know that you know that you've been born again. I told you guys before at church camp several years ago, there was a young man that went to camp with us, and he was kind of struggling with whether or not he was saved. And so I was talking to him about that, and I was like, "Man, you need to know. You know, 1 John 5:13 says, 'These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God.'" Man, it ought to be that you know, that you know. And listen, I don't think anybody in here who's saved can say they've never doubted their salvation. I've certainly doubted mine. And you got to get that settled, and it's not based on a feeling. It's based on the Word of God. Have I been obedient to the gospel? The Bible says repent and believe the gospel. Did I repent? Did I trust Christ with all my heart? And I had to work through that and settle that. Well, there's a young man at camp with us, and he was having a hard time with that. And we went through the gospel. We went through the gospel, and I said, "Do you know?" And he said, "I don't know." And I said this. I put my hand behind my back just like this, and I said, "If I pull this gun out and shoot you in the head right now, do you know for sure you'll go to heaven?" You know what he said to me? He said, "Do you really have a gun back there?" That seems like a reasonable question. I said, "I might." I said, "I might, and I might just be crazy enough to shoot you in the head, so you better know that you know." And that young man was saved that day. Motivation. Motivation. Maybe that's not the best tactic for a pastor or any soul winner, but I'm just trying to tell you tonight that you need to know. Because there's not a person in the room tonight that thinks you're going to die tonight, but you might. When are you going to die? You don't know, so you better know. Because if ye then be risen with Christ, it's not a guaranteed thing. You must be obedient to the gospel. For those of you that like to take notes, you can jot down Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. He says in verse 8, Colossians 2 and verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Guys, there are all kinds of people trying to deceive you. There are churches trying to deceive you. There are liars trying to lead you away. And you're not going to get saved by man's ideas, man's philosophy, or man's rudiments, the things that you do. You're only going to be saved through Christ. It's Him alone. That's it. If you have Christ, you have life. If you don't have Christ, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. I'm trying to plead with you tonight that you know that you're born again, that you're saved. He goes on in verse 9, Colossians 2 and 9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. You know why we get baptized? It's not to save us. You know why we get baptized? It's not to wash away your sins. Nothing can take away your sins but the blood of Christ. We get baptized to picture what Christ did for us because He died and rose again, so we trust in His death and resurrection. And when you trust in Him by faith in Christ, you're risen with Christ. Guys, if you're saved, it's as good as done. The Bible uses the present tense and says we are passed from death to life. So we go back to our text, Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, are you born again? Are you saved? When you die, are you going to go to heaven? Do you know? Man, what a joy to know. What a peace that passes understanding. I'm going to go to heaven when I die. It's not because I'm a good person, because I'm not a good person. It's not because I'm a pastor. Nobody ever went to heaven by being a pastor. It's not because I love my wife and I'm nice to my kids. It's not because I try to do good to others. None of those things are going to get anybody to heaven. This church can't save anyone. Being baptized isn't going to save me. I'm going to go to heaven when I die because when I was 14 years old, I trusted Christ with all my heart as my Savior. I cried out to God. I asked Him to forgive me. I asked Him to save me. And in an instant, He did. Most wonderful thing that's ever happened to me or ever will happen to me. And friend, I'm begging you to know that you know that you know. Now, if you were saved, I ask the question, do you know for sure that you're saved? And if your answer to that question is yes, I know. Brother Isaac, I know I'm saved. I know I trusted Christ as my Savior. I know when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm ready. I'm prepared right now to meet the Lord. I know that I'm saved. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. He tells us there are some things to be desired, and they're not earthly things. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Friends, we need to set our affections on things above. We need to seek. It means to worship. It means to desire. It means to endeavor. It means to go after things that are above. Where? Where Christ sits on the right hand of God. You know what the Bible says in Mark? It says Jesus Christ ascended up into heaven and He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. So what am I supposed to be seeking? Heavenly things. Godly things. My desire is to be towards the things of God, not towards the things of this earth. There's more to life than your boyfriend or girlfriend. There's more to life than your video games. There's more to life than your video games. Some of you, if your parents would let you, would do nothing but spend all day eating junk and playing video games. And some of your parents will let you do that. And I don't understand it. They'd let you stay in your bedroom till you were 45 years old. There's more to life. man, there's more to life. And it has nothing to do with the things of the earth. It's all about Him. Set your affections on things above. He says, seek. He says, set your affections. That setting your affections means to exercise your mind. It has the idea of this, to intensively interest yourself in something. Intensively interest yourself. Some of you are intensely interested in stuff that doesn't matter. Man, you ever been obsessed with something? Here in a few months, it'll be deer season, and some of you guys just get this glazed over look in your eyes, and that's all you can think about is deer. For a couple of months, we just lose you. You're just gone. I mean, that's all you think about. You think about your gun, you think about your stand, you think about all the stuff that it takes to get them, and I mean, that's just where you're at. You're intensively interested in it. I'm not trying to say there's anything wrong with deer hunting. I appreciate you, those of you who hunt and give me the meat. I love you for it. I'm just trying to say that we get so caught up on things of the earth and we lose focus on what really matters. I can promise you one thing. When you're standing around the throne worshiping Jesus one day, you're not going to be pulling out your phone showing Him pictures of the buck you got that year. It's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. There are things to be desired. They're heavenly things. There are things that are dead. Look at verse 3. For ye are dead. Nobody flinched when I read that verse a while ago, but stuff like that just gets me. The Bible just said you're dead. What? Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. What does that mean? He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. We are, when we're lost, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. But when we're saved, we're dead to trespasses and sins. Isn't that awesome? He takes us from being dead spiritually, and He makes us alive spiritually. And when that process happens, He makes us dead to the sin, dead to the carnality, dead to the old man. What a glorious truth. You know, sin has no power over you. And that's why He gives us this list. He says, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Does anybody know what the word mortify means? Anybody know the word muerto? You like the accent? Muerto. How about this? Let me get back to English for you. How about mortician? You know that one? Mortify means to kill it. Kill your members that are upon the earth. Put them to death. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Put off also all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. Listen, the Christian life is not about a list of do's and don'ts, but when you are a Christian, it changes your do's and don'ts. Listen, if you say you're saved and you still cuss like a sailor, that's not okay. If you say you're saved and you're still blaspheming the name of Christ, that's not okay. Hey, I don't think there's anybody in here that's never blasphemed. I used to be a blasphemer. I hate it. But now, God has changed my heart. I hate to hear someone blaspheme. Do you ever get around somebody that's taking the name of God in vain, taking the name of Jesus, and it just gets you? I mean, it wasn't that long ago. You were the one saying it. Now it just kills you, grieves your spirit. Why? What happened? You're risen with Christ. You're seeking the things above. You've set your affections on things above, and you're changed. And so we are to die to those things. Let me give you this real quick. Fornication is sexual sin. Uncleanness is impurity, whether it's physical or morally unclean. It's just not good stuff. How many of you have ever done something you shouldn't do and you just feel dirty? Anybody? We know what uncleanness is. So we do things we shouldn't do and we feel dirty. That's uncleanness. Inordinate affection is lust. Evil concupiscence is hard to say. But it means longing for what is forbidden. What's wrong with us? Everything's wrong with us. Good answer. If I put a window in the wall over here and I put a cover over it, and I put a window in the wall and I put a cover over it and I said, don't look. Some of you would not rest until you looked. You would wait till nobody was around and you would sneak in here and you would look. At Silver Dollar City, there's a wall and it's got a knot hole in it and it says, don't look. And I have never in my life been by there when somebody didn't have their eye in the hole. That's in our nature. We have a desire to do things that are forbidden. Somebody says, don't do that, and you got something in you just goes, don't tell me not to. That's evil concupiscence. That's what that is. God says, don't, and you go, well, I can do what I want to. And here's the problem. The devil's convinced you that God's just trying to take away your fun, and God is trying to protect you. And the devil is trying to dupe you. And how many of us have been duped? I thought it was going to be fun. And you know, it was fun for a little while. But then I had to live with the consequences. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness is wanting what somebody else has. Have you guys ever seen somebody's truck and you wanted their truck? Have you ever seen... You girls, I'm trying to, you know, spread it around. Girls, seen somebody's purse and you wanted their purse? I'm not raising my hand for that. Okay. We don't get covetousness very well because, you know, you're like, well, it's not wrong to want a truck. It's not wrong to want that. But here's the deal. Covetousness is wanting somebody else's. And it's really easier to understand when you just look at the Bible because the Bible answers itself. When God gave the law, he starts with this, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his ox, nor his manservant or maidservant or all the other things that he lists. But he starts with wife because we get that. Fellas, it's not wrong for you to want a wife. That's actually a good thing. Because if you find one, you found a good thing. And some of you, we're going to pray real hard because the Lord's really going to have to help. Amen. I don't know what Lauren did to deserve Brian, but you ought to pray for her. Amen. It's not wrong to want a wife, but it's wrong to want someone else's wife. Amen. That's covetousness. You get that? It's not wrong to want a truck. You just can't want somebody else's truck. Man, covetousness is rampant in our country. We want what everybody else has. He says, put off anger. It's violent passion, indignations, wrath. Malice is just malignity. It's just wickedness. Blasphemy is vilification of God. I was listening to a guy preach on a video. He's preaching to an atheist, and this atheist was just, blowing up and blaspheming and railing against God, and it grieves my spirit to hear that. He's an atheist, but he hates God. That doesn't make much sense, does it? That's blasphemy. When we vilify God, filthy communication out of your mouth. You guys know what that is. And lie not one to another. There are things that are dead, and then there are things to be dedicated to. Look at verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. Look at this. But Christ is all and in all. He is everything. put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. That's having a heart of mercy, caring about others, kindness, humbleness of mind. Don't think you're better than anybody else. Think more of others. Meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Some of you are bitter, angry, upset with somebody else, and you need to forgive them. How? The same way Christ forgave you. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. That's godly love. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. If you're risen with Christ, there's some things you ought to be desiring. There are things above. If you're risen with Christ, there are things that you're dead to, mortifying the sin. And if you're risen with Christ, there are some things you ought to be dedicated to, and that's living for him. There's a principle. It's the principle of replacement. Over and over in the New Testament, the Bible tells us to put off the old man, put on the new man. Here's the principle. Some of you guys listen to some music you shouldn't listen to. It doesn't honor Christ. It's filthy. It's worldly. It's ungodly. And you shouldn't listen to it. Amen. Back in my day, when we wanted to stop listening to it, we had to take our CDs and break them in half and throw them in the trash. Some of you guys older than me, you had to take a pencil and get part of that tape out and throw in the trash. And I don't know what you did with the 8-tracks. Stomp on them or something. Those things don't die. They just keep going on forever and ever. Today, some of you guys have invested a lot of money in music that's trash. You know what you need to do? You need to delete it. And then you need to go in the recycle bin, and you need to permanently delete it. Don't set it in there so you can get it back out later. Mm-hmm. But there's a law of replacement. You see, what happens is if you try to clean your life up and you get rid of the bad, but you don't replace it with what's right, it's going to be worse later. There's a principle in Scripture that you get rid of the demon, but you just kind of clean things up a little bit and you don't fill the house up with the things of God. That demon's going to come back with a bunch of his buddies and it's going to be worse for you. I'm saying right now you're listening to music you shouldn't listen to. You need to get rid of it, but you need to replace it with godly music. And fill your music up with the things of God that worship God, that honor Christ. Because if you don't, you're just going to leave an opening and it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Amen. I'm pleading with you guys to live for Christ. This summer, some of you guys got saved at church camp at Bog Springs. Some of you guys got saved at Vacation Bible School. I praise God for it. Some of you guys got saved at teen camp. Some of you guys have been faithful. You've been coming. Some of you have been gone for most of the summer. You're just now getting back and getting ready to go back to school. But I just want to plead with you to understand that it's real. That Jesus Christ is all. He's everything. And I don't care what the other people in town do. I don't care what your friends think about. I do care what they think about Jesus, but I'm just saying, don't let the way that they don't treat Christ like he's everything, don't let that keep you from living like Christ is everything. Amen. Don't let your fake Christian friends keep you from being a real Christian. Amen. Be real. Give everything to him because he gave everything to you. Let's stand together tonight. Father in heaven, as we get ready for this verse of invitation, Lord, I just pray that you move. God, I thank you for those that were saved this summer, and I pray that more would be saved even right now tonight. They would turn from their sin and unbelief, and they would trust in Jesus with all their heart. You gave everything for us. Help us to trust in you tonight. I pray that they'll know that they have eternal life, and that they'll live for you who died for them and rose again. Lord, I pray that you would just silence those that think this is silly. And those who are humble in their hearts tonight, ready to be saved, I pray that they would humble themselves and come to you tonight. Lord, help us to love and live for you. Please bless now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing.
Page 521.
Number 521. If the Spirit of God's convicting your heart, you come.